The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, and hopefully you're all staying dry. We're secure here in the offices at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, a few of the usual suspects, including our slightly harried statistician, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Hello, hello.
How you holding up there, Stat Boy?
It's things I don't want to discuss on the show.
I can arrange that. Someone who is down in the not-so-sunny Sunshine State, but mostly clear of the hurricane, would be Chris Waters.
Pardon me one second. I got to make sure the state isn't tipping over from all these East Coast people coming over to the West here.
And if it makes anybody feel better, Shane Helms has demanded on his Facebook for people to stop sending him puns.
Oh, jeez, man.
So I did not. I said, do you realize that this might be your student getting his PhD in superhero-dom? Wait. Matt's like, yeah, but, you know, you think it's bad now. Wait for Hurricane Rosie. Anyway, And finally, from our New York branch, who is buried near the bowels of politics, worst, Jason Block.
Yeah, enough said. But we also have a Chief High Mucky Muck as well. So
that's true. Oh, hi, Carl.
Somewhere in football land here.
Yes, in football land.
Well, at least different football. I have no football this weekend of my own. Oh God.
I know, yes. Yeah. Didn't they cancel a game because of the weather?
Postponed, but yeah, pretty much they did. And pretty much you can call it canceled because of this damn hurricane.
So
and the Saints are in their bye week, too.
Yeah. Thoughts and prayers, though, to everybody on the East Coast in the path of this mess.
It's not fun going through these things. I've gone through about five in my lifetime.
I've only been through one that actually made landfall. I've had a couple of really good scares. Look up Hurricane Floyd from the late 90s. And
98, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. At the time, I was working at Master Control at a college television station. We turned everything off.
Wow.
And unplugged it, because that's how scared we were.
For me, it was a hurricane in the mid-80s when I was a baby. Then it was Andrew in 92, Katrina in 2005, Gustav in 2008. When I say, I'm talking about direct hits, like close direct hits I had to deal with in the aftermath.
Well, yeah, Floyd didn't hit us. It literally bounced off the coast. Yeah.
And of course,
an honorable mention to Tropical Storm Allison, which brought a lot of rain around here.
Yeah.
And, of course, here in New York, we are just about to celebrate the fourth anniversary of Superstorm Sandy.
Which I got to Florida a week before that hit, actually.
You got out just in time.
And actually, we actually have a wrestling connection to Hurricane Matthew. Number one, I believe some NXT shows have been canceled because of this. And I believe... the TNA tapings, yes, you heard that right. Some of them got canceled and moved because of this.
Yes. Now you're saying, oh my God, tapings? Does that mean somebody actually gave them money? We're still trying to figure out who.
Who?
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
And In other words, we were expecting it on Sunday night, but where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
There was supposed to be this huge impact on Sunday. Oh, wait. Anyway. But somehow, some way, TNA has money. TNA managed to get Bound for Glory off, planned to have tapings, and then had a hurricane blow them clean off the map. Only TNA's luck, seriously. People are still whispering back and forth about, you know, Billy Corgan buying out most of it and accepting an offer from WWE for the videotape library, but we cannot confirm this.
No.
No.
So, that would, personally, I find that is the best case scenario. Statboy, any thought about this?
Well, you're not wrong, because TNA is in desperate need of a fresh start. And I mean desperate need. Because for too long, Dixie.
Jason, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting. If the scenario goes off the way it would, where the library would go to WWE and Billy Corgan would just rebrand it as totally something else, quite interesting, but I don't know. What's more intriguing to me is how the money came through on Sunday, because we were hearing for at least a week to 2 weeks that TNA was done. Then all of a sudden, we get this influx of cash and they're good through the end of the year. I don't buy it for a second. I don't.
And the fact that we know that Dixie sat down with everybody on Monday?
Monday or Tuesday?
Monday or Tuesday. And pretty much lied to their faces.
Yeah. And of course, well, Bob Ryder, who seems to be high on the baloney pony there, says everything's going just fine over there.
He's anti-dirt sheet and pro-TNA, so, you know, he can live in that, he can live on that little fantasy island. Bob Ryder,
pot calling kettle black, excuse me, Mr. OneWrestling.com. Okay, he was the dirt sheet. What has he now gotten? What, did he come to Jesus or something? What sort of bullshit is that? Okay, the fact is that TNA has not been a viable wrestling company for 4 fucking years. Okay,
at least.
At least. Okay. With the bullshit. I'm sorry. Can I take the soapbox? I'm sorry, because I'm.
No, please, please take a seat. We've got some space open because the soundboard's in the shop.
Fine. Okay. So here's the fucking deal. The fact is that TNA has not been a viable wrestling company for the last 4 years. Deals be damned. UK tours be damed. Worldwide deals in like UK, Germany, and India and all that stuff. Fine. Great. Wonderful. Okay. When was the last time a wrestler caused a riot like Seth Rollins did in Chile this week? Okay. None.
What?
Yes.
I'm going to get back to you on that. Keep going.
Okay. Okay, the fact of the matter is that bullshit management decisions, a touring company that's so freaking bad you couldn't get licenses in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, okay? The wrestlers, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, left your ass because they couldn't get the money they want, and they've become bigger stars since. So the person who funded the money, you're out of your freaking mind, baby. Seriously.
And, you know, I'm going to dismiss the rumor that Dixie went to Daddy, because Daddy probably would have said, you screwed this mess up. You go find some other money, Mark. Mm-hmm. As I see it right now, the best case scenario, where just about everybody wins, Corgan gets the influx of money with WWE purchasing the videotape library, which some have speculated the Fed would probably go ahead and drop a cool million on.
Million and a half to two is looking to be the current offer.
Okay. They're going to try to talk. They're probably going to try to talk it down, try to talk it under a million. Regardless, that gives Corgan money to keep the company afloat till the end of the year. and take some of that money and invest it in the rebranding process, because he's going to need a whole new set, whole new graphics, all new everything. And he's got to secure a home. They cannot be traveling when they're this dark or dark in the red.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Corgan would get his money. WWE would get the material they want, so they can actually do some DVDs of Joe and AJ, and have extra material if they ever decide to do one for Christian or Sting.
Or if Angle ever comes back.
Which he's got something else up his sleeve right now. Otherwise I would say yes, I would love to see Dorcas back in the Fed.
He's actually got a higher calling, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm a little more happy with what he's actually doing, but we'll get to that later. Can I read the meeting thing and see how long we go before everybody starts laughing?
Okay.
I mean, this is one of the reasons I wanted the soundboard tonight, because I was going to break the bullshit button. TNA majority owner Dixie Carter held a locker room meeting prior to Impact Wrestling tapings in Orlando. According to several sources that have been spoken to, Carter spoke to talents about a number of different issues and allowed them to ask questions. One of the issues we were told was discussed was regarding late payments to talents, and Carter stated, there are times where payments were made late, stating because TNA is waiting for money that they are owed to come in.
Right.
I don't believe you!
Bullshit!
Okay, I didn't get very far, but I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, please.
Carter was also asked about the rumors that WWE was about to buy the promotion. Carter, we are told, acknowledged that WWE wanted to purchase, but she stated she would not let that happen.
Because she's an insane bitch.
Although she could have and should have. Carter also stated that the company still owns their own tape library in regards to rumors that WWE is purchasing that. Carter made it clear that she is still the majority owner of TNA, but acknowledged there has been some infighting and a power struggle amongst the other owners of the company. Yes, they're trying to get this company out of your wrinkled hands.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to the financial issues leading to Bound for Glory, Carter said that the show was never not going to happen, but acknowledged that they did scramble leading up to the pay-per-view. Now, this is the one that got me. We are told that Carter acted surprised that everybody was so up in arms and worried about the status of the company, and apologized to the locker room that there was so much concern and worry.
So she just doesn't pay attention to the world around her then.
Well, considering that there's other reports that she didn't even know what the hell kayfabe was for 8 years?
Yeah, about that. That's probably how Hogan got away with about 90% of what he did over there.
And it looks like, holy balls, it's from Vince Russo.
Don't scare me like that. Do we trust what he has to say?
In this case, I would actually trust him. I know that sounds completely weird, but it sure seems like this would be something that'd be completely in Dixie's wheelhouse, and she'd be about stupid enough to not realize it.
Again, now I know how so many people got so much past Dixie, because they probably were doing it in a kayfabe sense, and she took them up on it.
Yeah. And to be honest with you,
yeah,
the other Dixie Carter could have run this company better, and she's been dead for years, I believe.
Let's see.
She died 6 years ago.
So anyway, people are still a little bit worried about where things will go after tapings are done for the rest of the year, but there was respect. Some gave respect to Dixie for at least saying something. Corgan wasn't at the meeting. He decided not... Huh?
I thought I read somewhere he was at it, but he just didn't say anything.
The report I was given was that he declined to attend. Probably because he wouldn't keep a straight face through Dixie's Q&A.
Hmm.
Okay, so TNA is still running. We don't know who owns what.
Well, would it be considered running right now or just limping along?
Well, it's been limping along, you know, dragging a lot of machinery behind it, but it's still moving.
You know, it just doesn't want to die.
No, it doesn't.
Now, but here's the thing. We want it to succeed. Don't get me wrong, but not in the way it's doing now.
No. Yeah. I think that Corgan has a better business mind than Dixie Carter. Short stretch, I know. But Corgan's been in business for himself for years, so he kind of understands this kind of shit. So, give him a shot. But Dixie, go home. You're drunk and you're stupid. And not to mention, you're broke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, hey, Cody, I mean, I know you're trying to be a drug dealer on Arrow. Nice job, by the way. But did you really want to debut with this company? Really?
I don't think it's for a long-term contract. He's just there to beat the crap out of Mike Bennett and get out.
Yeah, he's probably on a per-appearance deal because he's never going to sign another long-term deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can't.
Although there was, there's somebody out there that posted a picture of Cody showing off his boots, and they put a caption on it. Oh, I have made a horrible mistake. So we know only a little bit more than what we did last week, and that's starting to irritate me. It really is. Somebody say something. Show me the money. Who's got what? And please tell me that Dixie's going home.
Hey, somebody's got to have the balls to speak out under anonymity.
Seriously.
I know that sounds hypocritical.
And wait a minute. I think I might actually know who would have those cojones who just signed with TNA.
Who you got, Stat Boy?
Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, somebody get him on the phone.
He's really well known for burning bridges or just setting things on fire just because he can. That's the reason why him and Chikara have never been in such, haven't been in great condition. It's always been like, I get it, but yeah. Him and Chikara are not best of friends. Haven't been for a while.
If you're disagreeing with Chikara, you're either not a wrestling fan or you don't play well with anybody.
And
well, considering he was originally trained by him.
Okay, that's bad.
Yeah, because Kingston is involved with this new club called DCC. I don't know what the hell it means, but spoiler alert. Oh, and another spoiler alert. We're going to have a new TNA World Heavyweight Champion very soon.
That didn't take long.
Yeah.
But I think that's enough TNA for me right now.
Yes.
Okay, Jason, this is not on my run sheet. How the hell did Rollins start a riot in Chile?
Okay. Because what happened was...
I hope it wasn't something about a flag. Chris Jericho would have warned him.
No.
Oh, that's Brazil.
What happened was, it was an autograph signing, okay, in Santiago at a place called, let me read this here. The signing when the early season, when the crowd became unruly and looted the store where Rollins was signing. Ending the event, and there's video of it.
Okay. Oh, patch me in, because first of all, that wasn't even his fault.
No.
That just blows my mind. I'm thinking, how did he start a riot? His face. Okay. And while I'm looking at this, I want to thank Kappa Anime for putting up two short cartoons about Seth and his issues. From his injury and his return.
Jesus, man.
Chaos! Chaos in Africa. Where's Seth? Please tell me they got him out of the movies.
ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Holy Jesus. Crap. We're getting crushed in there.
Mm-hmm. It was at a place called Rip. It was the Ripley store. Let me see if I can translate this into English here, because it's out of yeah, there's a whole damn video and everything. Good Lord.
And Seth probably feels bad that A, it happened. B, he didn't start it. I shouldn't joke about that. No. Like I said, Kappa MA's got two short animations up about Sellout Seth. One during his injury, and then one
shortly after his return.
Yeah, the other one is shortly after his return. And in both cases, Happy Scary Dean happened to drop by. I think the comment was, "You still regretting turning against us, you dumbass?" So, Kappa, I mean, if you're going to do any more with Kevin Owens, you have to do Kevin Owens in Cartman's voice.
You will respect my authority. Yes.
You will respect my authority, and you'll respect my best friend over here, Chris Jericho.
We'll put you on the list.
Drink it in, man.
Everybody wants to be on the list.
I'm seriously. I'm on the list. Yes.
Oh, and the fact that Jericho's being a doofus while still being a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Something about him filling out the list and saying, "Ink it in, man."
And Chris Jericho just finished his fourth book. Not reading it, writing it.
And yes. We're still speculating on the title of this.
You know,
sorry, read this book. That mental image.
What did you say? Read this book, you...
Read, yeah, I said, read this book, you stupid idiot. What were you going to say, Stat Boy?
Sorry, that mental image of Chris Jericho only finishing reading his fourth book.
It's not very nice.
Hop on pop. Hop, hop, hop.
Chris,
what's the next word? Can you tell me, you stupid idiot?
Chris, you got a title?
I've just got all the second. Oh, man. I got a good one they're already taken.
Jason, you want to take a stab at it?
What, the title of the book that it's going to be?
Yeah.
I would say that, I don't know, you know. I'm going to say The Gift of Jericho. I'm going to call it. Maybe The Gift of Jericho. Who knows?
Okay.
Oh, yes, the gift of Jericho, a tale of open shirt vests and expensive scarves.
Yikes!
And The Gift of Jericho can be yours for only $24.99 at your local Barnes and Noble.
He better do a book signing out this way. I want to run into him again.
Yeah, it's been way too long.
So. I talk more about the show, but there's still a whole bunch of crap that's going on outside of the ring that we need to at least peek at. I will go with the one thing I'm going to go with right away. Early congratulations to Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. They're expecting a goat. Oh, I mean, she's pregnant.
Hey! Woo! Not cool!
Awesome!
But no, I mean, well, not cool for God, awesome that, you know, it's, you know.
I know it's not cool for me to say that they're having a goat, but I'll be nicer and say this is the first kid I will ever say that absolutely positively must have a bear as its first plushie.
Yeah, okay. I saw that video. That was screwed up. Have you seen that yet?
Can Hornswoggle show up at the birth then?
At least somebody would be the kid size. Anyway, I saw that. Is it just that one part, or is there a part two?
There's three parts.
To it. There's three parts.
I can't. Somebody get me part two and three, and I'll watch. I'll watch them after the show. Okay. let's see. We talk.
Well, before we get off the Bree Bryan baby, somebody made a suggestion of what's going to happen at the birthing. when Bree's in labor, she's pushing. She just finally yells "Bree mode," and the baby just pops right out. Right?
Good God!
And that's the entire room erupts in a yes chant.
Yeah, and that's what Hornswoggle's going to be there for. He's going to catch the baby.
We'll know it's Daniels if it tries to put a cattle mutilation on the doctor. Anyway.
Or so, just slaps him in the ear like he said he was going to do to Cena one time.
Daniel, we also remember so where you got to kick Cena in the head. Thank you, by the way. News.
Yeah, the same night he choked out Justin Roberts with a tie.
Okay, that one was a little over the line, but you know, thanks for coming by Indianapolis and scouting a ref for the Fed. Anyway. Hi. Now, we touched briefly, Kurt Angle's name came up a few minutes ago, and he is actually going out on a good cause. Hashtag AngleStrong. He's going to help other people who have addiction problems since he may have finally beaten all of his.
And he had a lot of it.
Even with his broken freaking neck?
Well, that's the thing. I think his twice repaired broken freaking neck was why he was downing Vicodin like M&M's.
65 a day. And adding alcohol to the mix.
So we're lucky that dork's still here.
And he's actually going to be wrestling Cody Rhodes at a show on the 6th. Or wait, that might have actually passed. No, it's probably happened right already, so.
And, you know, if I would hope that WWE would bring him back in a supporting role. I don't need to see him wrestle. I just need a segment with him and American Alpha.
Jason Please? Jordan has actually acknowledged his Kurt Angle love.
There you go.
It's because he might be his daddy or his uncle. Oh, wait, wrong tag team.
Well, Kurt was into that type of... never mind.
He didn't even realize what he was talking about, but that's okay. I forget the pay-per-view, but look it up. It's him and King Booker, and your jaw will hit the floor. let's see. Rumors were spreading Sunday night that Del Rio was going to no-show AAA and show up at TNA.
Well, they're half right.
He didn't show up because somebody jumped his ass.
Yeah, we got a mad wrestling stabber going around. First Jamie Noble, now Alberto over here.
I know there's a lot of people on the fan boards who are not fans of ADR, but guys, that's just going too far. But you are new.
Yeah, some people are worried that it was Paige then, and they had a bad thing going on, and he's just covering up for her now.
Oh, she wouldn't have used a knife.
Well, here's the latest report, courtesy of Daily Wrestling News, who they do have good stuff, that Paige was with Del Rio when he was stabbed by a man. She reportedly got involved when they both ended up on the ground and was thrown there. One report has the man escaping in his car, and Del Rio went to check on Paige. The confrontation reportedly started after a minor car accident between he and Del Rio in the parking lot. They had words. The man pulled a knife, and when Del Rio went to leave, the man attacked him. Original reports on the incident did not mention her being there, but the detail was just released in the last 24 hours. Del Rio's original statement did not mention him or a car or her. The record in Mexico, who spoke with Del Rio, said Paige and Del Rio were actually attacked by a drunken homeless guy. There's stories along the lines of the other accounts, but they claim the man left on foot when Del Rio went to check on Paige. Furthermore, the issuing surrounding speculation on what actually happened and what the San Antonio police are saying continue. According to PWI, the San Antonio Police Department has just one stabbing in their jurisdiction on October 2nd, and Del Rio's not listed. There are several small municipalities within the city that are not in their jurisdiction, plus the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. They need an exact location of the incident to release more details, if there are any. So, a little confusing there.
Yeah. We'll let them play with that for a little bit. Actually, I had one other out of ring thing, but Jason, save that for plugs.
What?
The NXT stuff.
Oh, yes. I will do that. Right. Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Most of Raw. There's three major things we need to discuss about Raw. Seth Rollins and his status. Sheamus and Cesaro. And a cruiserweight conundrum. And actually, I'm going to touch on this first. We had two cruiserweight matches on Raw. And this actually gives WWE an opportunity to air video packages, backstage interviews and whatever while the guys are out there restringing the ropes. I'm impressed that they can do this in under 10 minutes. Jason, you made an interesting observation. You think it's a distraction?
I do. I'm not saying that I don't enjoy the distinction, but remember when you said, oh, it's not like WCW when, you know, they get the first out of the way. That actually might not be a bad idea now, given that, you know, you have momentum going, and then, ooh, we need two video packages, and when you know you have video packages, you know the ropes are being restrung. There's a disjointedness that you know what I'm saying? The flow's off, at least to me.
Okay.
This is no disrespect to the cruiserweights at all, mind you. Okay.
Well, yeah, this is out of their control. They can't do anything. They can't do anything about it. Chris, what do you think?
I honestly just haven't noticed anything really different on All Out Raw, because you see, we've had a lot of video packages in between stuff anyway. It's just the major thing I've noticed about Raw recently is they've been cutting down the time of the opening segments nowadays, and actually last week started with a match, for crying out loud.
Hallelujah.
Well, given how long they would open with a 20-minute promo with the evil boss Dr. Levesque. Yeah.
But I understand the complaint that it kind of messes with the flow, but I kind of like the different look for the cruiserweights with the purple ropes and the they still keep the little logos in the ring mats. It's not the tap-out logo anymore, but it's the little cruiserweight logo that they made up
right
when they brought them out the Raw. Yeah, so I kind of like that it gets its own kind of important feeling of difference in the show.
Statboy?
Huh? Oh, sorry. The thing is, I don't watch much Raw anymore.
just thought I'd ask your opinion. Now, Seth Rollins, they did a lot of stuff with him, even though he claims he's cleared from his rib injury when he got squished by Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm. I believe he is wrestling in Chile, but I believe he's been wrestling in tag matches.
So they're
and he wrestled in the handicap matches we just saw.
No, that wasn't a handicap match. That is exactly what it was, a riot. Somewhere John Cena's going, damn. Anyway. Somehow, in his sit-down with Michael Cole, maybe it's just me, but are the writers not confident that Seth is a face? I mean,
wouldn't surprise me.
I think so, they're trying to prepare to... They don't know how well he will still react as a face after going against Triple H and everything, and considering all his past. I know the people cheer on him and everything, but his past is a little bit hard to get through, especially things like the cinder block to Dean Ambrose's head. And the fact
that he threatened to kill Edge, yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that could be their thinking. Now, if you do it right, you can make anyone a face. Consider that whole Kane Lita situation back in the day.
Oh, and by the way, Rollins has been touring with, teaming with Sami Zayn, of all people.
Well, that'll get him cheered.
No. He's supposedly got a massive face pop in Chile from what I'm reading right now.
Yeah, he did. I've seen video of them leaving the ring. And yeah, it seems to be relatively big pops.
So yeah. And I think they cheer for Sami Zayn because they're well aware of his good friend El Generico, who wrestled in Mexico and possibly even further south into the Americas.
And who, according to Kevin Owens, we have to remember him in post-mortem.
Yeah, supposedly El Generico is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I just saw this on Kayfabe News. WWE buys TNA Library, discovers it's all on Betamax. Sorry. Sorry.
I thought that would be too advanced for them.
Yeah. No. If it's on beta, it might actually be better quality.
I thought they were on
something close to Super VHS.
I thought they were all on CDs or something.
Well, I figured TNA was either on digital tape or super, or like you said, Super VHS. But they're probably bright, on, go ahead.
Yeah, shot on shittio, as some people call it, right there.
Yeah. I was going to be, my other thought was, where was I going with this? Where was I going? Oh, crap, that train left the station.
My name is Nikki and I like turtles.
Words are hard. Give me a second. Oh, that the tapes are Betamax, but they're not broadcast beta.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a format in the early 90s, and that would certainly explain TNA. Anyway, okay, I missed part of this. Sheamus and Cesaro as enemies of each other, trying to be a tag team. Foley's pushing for this really hard, but they're going to kill each other.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, it's like they get into the arena and they're like, "You took us on the wrong fucking road. You took us down the 405. What are you, nuts?"
You didn't want to stop and ask for directions. I knew exactly where I was going.
There's an easy way to settle this, and I saw this on the fan boards earlier.
Okay.
We need somebody with experience in these matters to take care of things. Dr. Shelby, are you out there? You have a new team to work with.
Yay!
That makes me giggle because I just watched, I was watching Raw 1000 the other day, and that was the Dr. Phil segment.
And
Dr. Phil! Anyway,
So then they get into the ring, and it's like, okay, do this! Bang! Bro kick! Okay, fine, do this! You know, boom! You know?
And that one DDT that Cesaro did, that could have gone so wrong, and it's good that he didn't for that. I hate to say it like this, but jobber.
Yes. But, okay. I'm sorry. I don't like this. I hate this, actually. Okay? They didn't want to settle the score after Clash of Champions, so then they made the biggest dumbass move in the history of work. I hate this. I really freaking hate this.
kayfabe, I'd kind of chalk it up to Foley's, you know, Foley's slightly addled brain. But whoever wrote this is it's dumb. They should have had an eighth match.
No.
They should have had an eighth match, and then, you know, that spirals so far out of control because the no contest was nothing. We have another mess like that. Then you go ahead and make them a tag team. If you're not going to settle it, you know, and if you guys can't figure it out, you know, you're evenly matched. So there you go. This isn't Matt Hardy and MVP, unfortunately. And hopefully if they want to go somewhere with it, they need to start softening it soon. Actually, there was one other thing about Raw I wanted to talk about. It's October! Everybody break out your pink!
Yay!
And then Enzo can bring out his dictionary.
Whoa! Yeah. I thought you were going somewhere else there!
Anyway, Enzo should have practiced his presentation. And told the gal that was right next to him that she was holding the belt up upside down. As we all know, WWE holds hands with Susan G. Komen through the month of October. They're rewarding breast cancer survivors with title belts. And Enzo and Cass did the honors on Raw, and Daniel Bryan did the honors on SmackDown.
And in both the Raw and the SmackDown one, something went weird. The Raw one, when they tried to pull the sheet off, the title belts all fell over.
Right.
The SmackDown one, they decided to play the music a little bit early, and Daniel got a little bit upset about that.
I dug that. He's like, don't play that music over me. I'm not done yet. He's such a nice boy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to show his future son or daughter how do you treat women who really deserve to be treated.
Yes.
And speaking of women,
and they even acknowledged how monumental this was. Raw's main event, Sasha versus Charlotte for the women's title. One of the promos they cited Lita and Trish.
Mm-hmm. It's only the third match in Raw history or where the women were the main event. The first one being Lita versus Stephanie McMahon for the WWF Women's Championship. The second one, everybody knows, Lita versus Trish for the WWF Women's Championship. And this is number three.
And there is a chance this could lead to more, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. The match was amazing. The match was a lot of fun. And they put the belt back on Sasha. Where it belongs, actually.
Yeah. But there is a rumor going about this.
Uh-oh.
Nothing bad, but we got a pay-per-view coming up after this one this Sunday.
Yes.
A certain gimmick pay-per-view.
Which we already have one of those gimmick matches booked. In a rather awkward promo with Reigns and Rusev and Lana.
Right. But it did what it did.
It served its purpose, but it was awkward.
Yes. But there might be not only the fact that they actually get the match, because they haven't announced anything for the Universal title yet, these two might actually get the main event of this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. In the cell. That's what I've read, anyway. We'll see.
Somebody want to loan me $9.99? I want to pay for it now.
But, by the way, what I also loved at the end of the match was the way they told the story. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sasha's face with the "I told you so" sort of, you know, head bob a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte crying, "It's mine. It's, you know," but, you know, little details like that. Great stuff. Really good stuff.
And tell you what, Raw was, no offense, Jason, But Raw was more exciting than the football game.
I was going to put some apple in my mouth, but that's not saying much, okay? Eli can go... Well, anyway, we'll talk about that on BS. Well, we've already talked about that on BS. Anyway.
Okay. Now, let's take a peek into the Blue brand.
I'm blue, da-ba-dee-ba-dee-da. Okay.
Okay. One of the main story arcs was Randy Orton thinking that he caught Bray Wyatt. Had him locked into a steel shed with nothing but the rocking chair. So he could get to Wyatt when he felt like when he felt like it. But we keep peeking in there. And Wyatt went a little crazy for a little bit. But once he sat down in the rocking chair, he was fine. Because he could see Sister Abigail.
And decided to go home.
He just asked her to take me home. And he was gone.
Poof.
And boy, was Orton pissed. You do not play mind games with a walking, talking mind screw. You do not. Why might not win many matches, but you're not going to be able to match wits with him. And I enjoy that.
Yes. Even if he sadly no longer has a backup guy at the moment.
Where's Rowan?
Rowan had a rotator cuff injury. He's going to be out until March.
Oh, yep. Shit.
Four
no
to
wonder.
6 months.
No wonder.
Yeah,
he's going. Well, Harper's due back.
Well, he's already back, actually. He wrestled in Chile this week.
Okay. So, he won't be lonely long.
he can just watch, until Harper comes back, he can watch his boy Braun just get madder and madder about having worthless matches.
Mm-hmm. And even Strowman, in the little dim light bulb in his head went off and said, "Hey, when am I actually going to start fighting some real people?"
And somewhere Sin Cara said, "You son of a bitch."
Braun, you can ask again. Does that sort of,
now, is Big Show on Raw, by the way? I think he is, isn't he?
Yes.
That's, I think, what his next opponent's going to be.
So, okay, this week's show is Face. Okay.
Yes. Correct.
But getting back to SmackDown. One of the most fun segments of the evening somehow involved The Miz. Miz assembled a Dolphumentary, or what is also affectionately known in the movie business as Mockumentary, maybe it wasn't, retrospective of Dolph Ziggler's career.
And Nikki, there's a certain C word I think you can use for this one.
I will. Ladies and gentlemen, continuity and multiple instances thereof. The video had caddy footage. The video had Spirit Squad footage. This had several instances of the "Hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler, and I'll shake your hand." Ziggler didn't look like a happy camper when the video was over. So Miz tried to lift his spirits. And oh my god, there's a piece from Weird Al's sports song that should be playing in the background right now. You know, okay, full disclosure, we're not that great, but nevertheless, you suck. And out come the original members of the Spirit Squad. The guys that were testing the gimmick at house shows. Kenny freaking Dykstra and Mike Mondo.
OG, and I know, OG Spirit Squad, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know he's only 30, but Kenny hasn't really aged that much in the 10 years that he's been gone.
He's still a gangly motherfucker, ain't he?
You know, sign him. We've got a lot of fun going on in the tag team division.
You don't want him on SmackDown. He has problems with Cena, at least once he did. I don't know if he's gone past that now.
Well, he's had 10 years to grow up. You know, he didn't have to grow old, but he's got to grow up at some point. Anyway, but like I said, this is double continuity in the fact that, yes, they were acknowledging the Spirit Squad, and the fact that Doan and Dykstra, I think, were actually still doing the gimmick on the independent circuit, but they were also the first two guys to actually do the gimmick.
Yeah.
I have photos from house shows with them in powder blue, as well as their trademark Meta green.
Yes.
And for all you OVW people out there, don't steal green! Don't steal green! Don't steal green! If you're an OVW fan and you get that, you're awesome.
And there was an OVW name drop on SmackDown, too.
Well, they actually made a joke about you know, oh, we lost, it looks like you guys lost Johnny and Mitch when you got shipped back to Louisville.
Then again, one of them's retired and the other one currently lives in Jerusalem.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oi. Sorry.
Okay, that's probably the correct answer, but so which was which? Because Nick Mitchell was not much of a wrestler, and that's why they didn't use him very much.
I'm trying to remember where I found it. Oh god, give me a minute.
Live research, ladies and gentlemen, because I need to know where journeyman Johnny Jeter landed. Cuz I got to see him in OVW before his Spirit Squad debut, and I'd seen him a couple other places, and he really deserved better. But he also had the bad luck of having a tag team partner named Matt Capitelli.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yes. Dufosity ensues. Schmoz ensues. Dolph still pissed.
There it is. Oh, it's according to Wrestling Observer. Okay. Let's see now. Yeah, Johnny Jeter turned it down because he had a conflict with his current employer. Nick Mitchell, the one who used to date Tori before A-Rod. Yes, A-Rod. Currently lives in Jerusalem.
Hmm. So, yeah, I would have loved to see...
But The Miz was on fire. He was so good. He was so good poking the bear, a.k.a. Dolph.
Yes. And there apparently is a rumor going around that this might have been a little bit, not only just a mockumentary, but a send-off video. In a way.
Hmm.
There's talk that Dolph might be moving to a backstage producer role. And given his concussion history, the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but we will see for sure after Sunday with whatever happens there.
Right. So that's just a question mark, and that's just a speculation. I'm not trying to change anybody's pick-ems.
Yeah. And I will close out on this Miz Dolph segment by saying, when did Miz decide to raid Vince McMahon's old wardrobe from Vince's announcer days?
That red suit was hysterical. That was just so wrong. All they needed to do was, you know, they couldn't have done it because this was mostly for Dolph.
Yeah.
But if they were going to get Miz, Stan Back should have been playing in the background. So, might be a couple other things I could talk about SmackDown, but I really think I want to just talk about the pay-per-view. Oh, Stat Boy!
Yes!
Start spooling your printer. What do we got for the pay-per-view this weekend?
Actually, it'll be roughly the same layout as last time, mainly because I am not putting in one match.
Which one?
Curt Hawkins versus who?
Oh, Jim Neidhart's going to be wrestling? What?
That'd be awesome.
How's what kind of terms is Neidhart on with the Fed right now? Is he with them or against them? Probably against them because Natty's not getting a push.
Probably.
I watched NXT. She was part of the video package for their little segment with the whole breast cancer awareness thing this year, this month. So
okay. So
yeah, I am not including that. However, if you want to pick his opponent for a wild card, go right ahead. I don't mind. And I just got a very funny idea, but uh-oh. I don't know if I want to use it.
Well, since I didn't have any other wild cards, I'm going to pick my wild card in right now for his opponent.
Okay, Twisk, if you want at it.
Because I had nothing else for a wild card. His opponent will be the man, the myth, the legend, James Ellsworth.
I knew that was gonna be it.
He might just get a free point out of this. I'm not calling auto win, though.
No.
I've had my chance for an auto win already this year, so.
And since there's... How many auto wins have actually come up, Stat Boy? Because I can only think of one.
It's only happened once. I almost had one last year, or no, 2 years ago, but things kind of got poo-pooed in the middle. I still wound up with a bonus, because I pretty much called it 9 months out.
And I called...
Daniel Bryan winning that at WrestleMania 30.
Yes. And then I got the Money in the Bank cash-in for 31. Was that an auto win?
I'd have to pull it up here. Open. I'm just trying to remember. Was what? SummerSlam?
WrestleMania 31.
Okay, give me a moment. SBC documents.
More live research.
Well, not more live research. More of a live... Where the heck did I put that file?
Do we decimal 31? System?
There it is. No. Got it. You did not. You had the Rollins Triple Threat wins WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
No, I didn't, but it wasn't marked as an auto win?
No, it was not.
Okay, well, I got my wild card for that, so yeah. Getting an auto win is hard enough, and we've been doing this for 7 or 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I know there has been one or... Maybe two. I doubt that, though.
So, but let's get on with this one.
Yes, yes.
Hey, Muckamuck, we're doing pick'ems. Open your mic.
Or he's away.
Or watching football.
Or asleep.
So, go ahead and start, Stepboy. If he wakes up, we'll get his picks.
All right. To the pre-show match. Jack Swagger versus Baron Corbin. Who wins?
This is easy. Baron Corbin will win because of the face got over the heel shockingly during SmackDown. Corbin wins.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Corbin wins this one. No real issue.
I'm going to take a leap of faith. Swagger wins this because they need to push Swagger. Baron Corbin is already established as a badass. We have to rebuild Swagger. He's not going to win the segment, but he's going to win the match.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the first match was just to get a little balance to get them on more even terms, get Baron a little upset and getting mad at Swagger so that you'd mean something, and Swagger get a win that he hasn't had in a while. So, but I think Swagger wins this pay-per-view match just to get him back onto a roll, and then we get build up some more with these two.
Hmm. Okay. Next up would be, Nikki Bella versus Carmella. Who wins?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Are you flushing?
No.
I'm very tempted to, but My head says Nikki Bella because Nikki Bella. My heart says Carmella because if they're serious about New Era, she needs the win. No. Total Bellas. Nikki Bella wins. Never mind.
Yeah. They've got to This episode of the new series has just come out. LOL, Nikki wins.
Yep, lol, Nikki wins. Cut paste.
Get the broom, even though I don't think she's going to walk out of the match easily.
And now for the last non-title, it looks like. Unless, hey, Carl, are you there?
Oh, hi, boss.
Hey.
I've always been here. Hi.
Yeah. Jack Swagger, Baron Corbin, who wins?
What was the prior match?
There was no prior match. I'm getting through to two matches in order for me so I can make my job a little easier.
Corbin, easily.
Okay. And then Nikki Bella versus Carmella?
Don't get the broom out yet.
Oh boy.
I'm going to go with Carmella for some reason.
Okay.
All right.
She's still fresh on the roster, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yes, I know Total Bellas. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I don't see it with this. Not yet, at least. For now, right. I'll take the young gun.
Okay. And now to the next match, the last of the non-title matches. Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt. Who wins?
I'm just gonna say this right now. I'm gonna keep saying Bray Wyatt until he actually does win a match on pay-per-view. So
exactly, Chris. I'm with you. Bray Wyatt has to freaking win this shit. I'm tired. I mean, they're starting to rebuild Bray Wyatt, but come the hell on. Seriously. Bray freaking Wyatt.
And I don't consider his escape momentum. I'm going to see if Orton's willing to lay down for somebody. I want Wyatt to win. My heart says Wyatt. My head says Orton. Soundboard's down, so I can't do baby oil, so Bray Wyatt.
Baby oil! Ah!
Where is me? Break out the baby oil. Something tells me that they're still not wanting to push Wyatt, even though he damn well should be already, god damn it.
And actually, wild card.
Oh.
Wyatt's going to win because Harper's going to help him.
There you go.
Ooh.
So you see Harper comes back.
He's already working the international tour, so he's ready.
And they need somebody.
You're going to need it because of Rowan's out now with
The labrum, yeah.
The labrum, yeah.
And Harper is undrafted, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but who could resist the kind words of the man who brought him here? How could he resist the call of his mentor?
God, that's fickle.
Yep.
And actually, I'm with Josh. Unfortunately, it's got to be Randy. I don't think Bray's going anywhere.
I know, but hey. Anyway, on.
Good one.
And now to the first. Go ahead.
Did he get his shirt cleaned while he was injured?
Of course not.
A shame. The correct answer isn't yeah. All right. Now for the first of the four title matches. And to me, well, okay, I might have switched this out a little bit, but I'm going with this. First, your champions, Legislator versus the Usos. 2 points, who wins and who stares at the pretty last? And wild card.
Go for it.
Because, unfortunately, while the fairy tale has been very, very fun, it's going to end. And it's going to end painfully at this one. The Usos
will win the titles. Rhino is going to get so beaten, battered, and bruised that he's going to be put out on a stretcher. Thus signifying him getting written off until at least early next month. For very, very obvious reasons.
Statboy is right. And it's not a wild card, but I have a feeling there's going to be a multi-tag team schmoz. I've already played my wild card, but I think all the other tag teams are going to come out and schmoz this thing to hell. Mm-hmm. But the Usos will ultimately...
Yeah, they need to make the Usos American Alpha thing even more legitimate in my eyes. It was nice to have Heath finally get a happy ending to his story, but the story's over now. And Heath can continue to do something on the show. But I really think that something's going to happen to cause Heath to take the fall instead of Rhino. So,
okay, by the way, Nikki, who are you picking to get pinned? Rhino or Slater?
Slater's going to get pinned, and then shit's going to go down, and the Usos are just going to beat the piss out of Rhino just because. And okay. Slater's not going to be in any shape to save him.
Okay. All right. You go.
I'm going to go with Usos to win without any kind of shenanigans.
And who takes
the fall?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Rhino.
For me, it's simple. Usos win because election. Usos, I will say Rhino gets pinned.
Now to the second of the title matches. Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss. Who wins?
Too easy. Way too early. Becky wins, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I think brooms can be broken out, can't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Alexa will get her time, but her time is not yet.
Yeah.
There's no need to hot shot it just because you had the Raw one change.
Right. Yeah.
That and also, unfortunately, Bliss is still very much kick punch with one or two moves. Then again, most of the SmackDown Women's Division is kick punch with one or two moves, save for maybe two of them.
Mm. Becky and who?
Naomi.
So most of her moves are in her entrance, right?
I was going to say, she does 15 moves in her entrance. Does that count?
Zing!
And you say mostly kick punch. Natalia's in there too, you know.
Yet she's...
That's all they'll let her do.
Yeah. Yet she's been in the business for 15, 16 years and is still kind of meh.
Well, look who she had to work with for most of those years.
Yeah. From 2007 onward? Yeah.
I mean, when you got to put Kelly over for crying out loud.
Ooh! Oh, sorry.
I can understand that. All right, and now to what I would consider my personal favorite match, even though this match has been done to death. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Intercontinental title versus career. Who wins?
Wild card.
I'm going to go first.
Oh, boy.
I'm giving you guys room.
Well, Jason said wild card, so now it's his turn.
No. I can hold my wild card. Go ahead.
This is simple. We know the rumors, and they're wanting to repackage Dolph, so Miz is going to retain. No wild card yet.
Jason?
Spirit Squad will be back one more time to attempt to help Miz win, and it will be successful. Miz retains. Dolph's done with the WWE.
Miz is knocking it so far out of the park. This would be a good time for Ziggler to go out on his back. Miz retains.
Chris?
I'm thinking still.
I think we're both thinking because my heart wants Ziggler to win. My head says Miz. One of those situations.
Screw it. I'm going with my heart, and I'm going to say all these reports are just swerves for us just to make it seem like he's going to lose. I'm going to say Ziggler and take a risk here.
Chris, I'm coming with you.
All right.
Ziggler wins. Oh, God, that match is going to be a barn burner. So will the main event.
You want to know something? That and the main event have been built so well.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Thank good job to SmackDown's creative team for actually making a lot of these matches seem hellishly important.
Yes. That's the one thing I really, really dig about SmackDown is that they've got something for everybody.
I mean, when's the last time you saw Heath Slater do a face run and save, for crying out loud?
When's the last time you saw Heath Slater do a run and save, period? That people would actually believe that he'd succeed.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
All right. And now for your main event of the evening.
Yay.
Sort of.
For the WWE World Heavyweight Championship or something like that, I don't know. AJ Styles, your champion, versus Dean Ambrose versus John Cena. 2 points. Who wins and who stares at the pretty lights?
Wild card.
Have at it, Carl.
AJ retains after punching Dean in the nuts. Dean gets pinned.
Hey, give me a second. Styles wins after groin punch.
I have a bonus, too.
Oh?
They run some kind of injury angle with Cena. Don't you have something to go record soon?
I don't think so.
No, well, it's okay.
I'm going to still put it as a bonus. He'll sell some kind of injury during this match.
I will not put that in the wild card mainly because that would be a little bit too convoluted.
That's meant as a bonus, not a wild card.
Good. I don't want you to lose points.
I agree
not
with
that
the
way.
Okay. I agree with Carl's winner choice. AJ's going to win because I don't think they want to get the title off him just yet. And I'm thinking the way they've kind of did some promos back and forth, I'm thinking they're going to try to do a little mini Dean Cena set little thing just while AJ does something else with the title. The question is who gets the fall? This part's tough for me. I'll say that Dean takes the fall because of something that Cena does by accident.
I've already played my wild card. AJ's going to win. He's going to pin Cena. But everybody's getting a nut punch in this match.
Or in Fire Pro Wrestling.
Ding! Ding! Yes.
Press are done.
Like I said, I've already played my wild card, but yeah, everybody's getting a nut shot in this match.
Meanwhile, Brock Lesnar's looking like it. Why did they have to bring that back?
Ooh, I forgot to talk about something with him, but let's continue.
Dean Ambrose is taking the fall. Styles wins. And I will also say, because Cena and Ambrose get at it so much, AJ's going to steal one, so to speak. If you understand what I mean.
So that it turns. So essentially, we, you know, a feud switch where Cena and Ambrose go off, and then AJ's ready for his next opponent.
Yes.
Okay.
Which could be the couldn't be the Miz.
The Miz would demand it. He won't get it, but he can demand it.
Although a heel-heel match between AJ and Miz would be hilarious to watch, I think.
Yeah, which one of you guys can cheat harder?
Yes.
My money is still on AJ.
So, just want to make sure, Jason, who are you getting pinned?
Ambrose.
Okay, cool. And as for me, Styles wins, Ambrose gets pinned. Cena will throw off something like a super AA, and then Styles will just, you know, knock him out with a phenomenal forearm, throw him out of the ring, and then 1, 2, 3, something like that.
You'll beat up John Cena.
Yeah. All right, and that is it for us. I mean, I will still be doing everything over on our Facebook page, but I will also need to make sure certain somebody doesn't go, the heel stops the cheat.
I've spoken to said individual, and I will be monitoring the pick'ems, and if that's too vague, I will be in touch with him, okay?
Okay.
So, last story before we go to plugs. Somebody mentioned Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
We've got Survivor Series not that far over the horizon.
Oh, yes, this rumor.
The rumor started with the ads. The fact that Goldberg was a playable character in 2K17, and when he was taken away by the cops, they were taking him to Suplex City. Anyone who's been a wrestling fan since 2003 knows that Lesnar Goldberg at WrestleMania 20 was a farce because both of them had a foot out the door.
Yes. God, we booed those motherfuckers out of the building.
You and Chris and 20,000 other people, yes. Now, I didn't see the sit down. Jason, what happened with Goldberg talking to Coach?
I will get there. Just give me a second. Okay, here we go. He said he was a 49-year-old man and that he didn't know what the odds are at that age. He could be Goldberg at this stage of his life, but it was something he had to think about. Goldberg said that his wife and son never had the chance to see him wrestle, and that's something he thought about, but appreciates that his son could watch him do what he used to do in real time in WWE 2K17. Goldberg said that he wants to have the ability to be that guy, meaning the character again, but there's a risk of losing his legacy by trying to do it if it doesn't work out correctly. He says that it was something he had to think about, but instead advised everyone to check him out in WWE 2K17 for now. When he asked who he wanted to face in the ring, Goldberg said there's a list of people who he wanted to face and commented, I would be remiss in saying that I don't know that I would be remiss in saying I don't owe Brock Lesnar a rematch. Bullshit, you do.
Okay. On top of that, Mr. Goldberg, answer the fucking question.
Okay. And made it clear that if he came back, that would probably be the match. Yeah. Goldberg said that we'd have to work his ass off to get ready for such a match. Goldberg was noncommittal to a question about how long it would take him to get ready for the return to the ring, and if anyone would be able to do it, it would be him. He said he needed to do some soul searching and talk to his family. Okay. Goldberg said
family as an agent, yeah.
Yes. Said he didn't want to bastardize anything he did in his career, and Joe, give me until the end of the year, for God's sakes. Yeah, bullshit. Okay. How much you want? Okay. May I translate that corporate bullshit, please, if I may?
Yes, please translate, because he didn't answer the fucking question.
Yeah, okay. I've signed the fucking contract, but I can't say shit yet, okay? Right? That's
I'm sorry, his appearance in the game alone tells you that that was part of the negotiations, that they had to have talked to him way back when to say, hey, you know, if we do this, you know they're going to want to see you in a match. So Goldberg's already preparing. He's talked to his family, I mean his agent, and everything's set in stone. But it still has to be a surprise, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, the rumor is that it's going to be a one-off match, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing rumors that Brock's fighting Shane at WrestleMania 33.
No me gusta.
No me gusta indeed.
No me interesante either, anyway.
Me either. Blah.
So, but yes, Goldberg versus Lesnar round two, and they with both of them actually giving a shit, I'm there. I'm there.
It would be nice to have a kind of a redo to wipe the memory of all, that first match out of everybody's mind.
That is, well, okay. If they do it right, I don't know if we'll wipe it out, but, you know.
Yeah. But at least go ahead.
Just make it fucking competitive, you know.
Yeah.
Just look like you care when you're wrestling, boys. That's all I ask.
Yes.
Lesnar has, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with all due respect to, you know, with the ending of SummerSlam, he does care. When he's in the ring, Lesnar's a fucking animal. Okay? He just is.
Yeah.
I still say he needs to bring more to his move repertoire again, but...
Yeah, I want to see him
suplexes,
do...
Yeah.
I would like to see him do some more intricate mat wrestling.
Yeah. Just don't try to do this shooting star press again.
Otherwise, why not?
Otherwise, he'll beat the fuck out of you.
So...
I'm just watching him beat the fuck out of people, that's all.
Yeah. And he says that's what he was put on this earth to do, and okay. If he can make money hurting people, go for it.
Excuse my choice of words here. He gets off on that.
No, that's right.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
I was trying to keep it as clean as I could.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, so, I know.
With that unfortunate image, I'm going to call this a show. Now, somebody said they wanted to go first with plugs?
Yeah, because there's an important and very serious situation happening right now. More important than this and other stuff we do. Thoughts and prayers to those fixing to get pummeled by a little hurricane by the name of Matthew out there in the Atlantic.
Amen.
I've been through about five of these in my lifetime. It ain't fun. I know how people feel. I'm with y'all. Just stay safe. If you haven't gotten out of there, well, now it's too late. I think they closed most of the roads out there in Central Florida. Am I right there or not? I'm not sure.
Well, my parents live on the East Coast, but they are 2 or 3 miles inland, so they're not going to be hit with a storm surge. But that doesn't mean there isn't going to be damage.
Yeah, just because you're inland does not mean you'll be safe from damage. Trust me. I'm about 80 miles away from the Gulf.
And you had Katrina on your doorstep.
Well, to be fair, Gustav was a lot worse in 2008 than Katrina was. Because Katrina, we were on the good side of it. For Gustav, we were on the bad. That one was a lot worse.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, just thoughts and prayers to those. Chris lives in Florida. I believe you're... Which side of Florida you live in? Tampa?
I'm Southwest Florida in Naples, so...
So you're on the Gulf side.
Yeah, they're all coming to us to get away from that.
As well as one of our big guys over at the Freakin' Austin Network, Cash Flag himself, lives nowadays in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So he's already uprooted and he's safe now, but whew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I need to see is more potential flooding and people stranded. We had enough of that back last month and the month before that.
Right. I mean, my sister's family lives in Kissimmee. And you know it's bad when Disney World closes.
Yeah, it's closed.
Not just Disney World, SeaWorld's closed.
Yeah.
They're all closed up there.
All the theme parks are shut down. So, yeah.
And football, there's some football that had to be affected. The LSU and Florida college game had to be postponed, i.e. canceled. They didn't want to go out and say it. And there's a game in South Carolina that's going to be moved to Sunday, if not canceled already. That'd be in Georgia and South Carolina.
Right.
Now, here's the thing with the storm before we get to real plugs, but more importantly, There's another hurricane not too far from it, so it might interact and make it turn back down. I don't know what's going to happen. So, but be prepared. Florida might be hit twice by this thing. Never know. So, yeah, our thoughts from all of us here at the NAWC and Spectrum One. Seriousness out of the way now. Real quick, some lighthearted plugs. Jason?
Yes, sir.
You, VRM, and me look like total assholes tonight, apparently.
Why? Because...
What did you do?
Because we picked the 49ers to win this game.
Why? What's the score at the moment?
31-14 Cardinals.
Well, that covers
the BS Pick Show. We covered week four last week. We'll be on the air next week with week five. We have...
Well, I will not be there, but I will be there.
Well, you won't be here, but I'll be here along with others like Chico and Jess, Verm, and maybe Josh if he's not working.
Or maybe get some JVG in there, some VRM, and all that good stuff.
Yes.
But I will record before sunset on Tuesday night the SFFL Live.
Yeah, happy Yom Kippur, by the way.
Well, it's not exactly a happy thing, but I understand. But thank you very much.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
Not just that. An upcoming bit that I might be working on for that particular BS. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
That covers that. Another thing related to what we cover here, I turn to Jason now.
We recorded an episode of We Learned to Interrupt last night.
And yeah, it's another Florida connection. It's another Florida connection.
Yes, because on Tuesday...
Although we couldn't get him.
Yes, Tuesday night, Dustin James Dumovich, that was his name, won Dustin about James, $80,000 on Wheel of Fortune, but sadly lost $100,000. He was the first person this year to lose $100,000 on the bonus puzzle. Could not get... I gave him an earful. It was a tough puzzle, but he missed. And we had a giant killer on Jeopardy this week. And I believe she lasted as usually what we thought it would be, one round, pretty much.
So the old Zerg Rush came back.
I'm sorry? Yes.
The old Zerg Rush came back.
Pretty much, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a guy who we discussed the betting strategy and is not as off as you think. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, and of course, we'll new episode of Pixel Nation this week. We took a week off.
We'll be back because there's no football for me this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. And a bunch of stuff here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Including partner shows like Mr. Chris Waters' show.
Yes, hi. And that show is Paper Review, and last week we updated with the disaster that was Super Clash 3, where we get four promoters deciding how much can we make a pay-per-view resemble a TNA pay-per-view many decades in advance. But we also... As of last night, and as of before the show, it's on my site for this, which is tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. We have had, myself, Nikki Heyman, and Logan Harding have done the Halloween Havoc 1989, which started the tradition of Halloween Havoc having one match that was infamously bad or weird in it. Also, we learned that Muta has a double job as a fireman in that match, right, Nikki?
Yes, and I didn't notice that the first time we watched it. I saw it this time, and that was hilarious.
Yeah. I'll give a brief description for those who want to see it. They were lowering this cage down, and they had some plants on the cage, and it's supposed to be an electrified cage.
Yeah.
One of the plants caught fire, and they had some techs trying to go up and get it. They were calling for a fire extinguisher. Muta just climbs onto the turnbuckle, looks at it, and sprays the mist right at the fire. That was just perfect right there.
But
we have gotten that show through, and since I didn't make the joke on the actual airing of it, we finally got beyond Thunderdome, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes. So, yes, that is tindeck.com/users/CMWaters, which is pay-per-review. Next up on our docket, whenever we get around to it, will be Clash of the Champions 9, which will have the conclusion to the Terry Funk Ric Flair feud, whenever we get to that, and whoever we bring in for that.
I got one more plug real quick.
Okay.
Non-special one related. Today's an important anniversary date. Mm-hmm. We record this on October 6, 2016. 30 years ago today, a little show called Double Dare premiered.
Yes, it did.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. And we got news that there's going to be a new documentary later on this year being paired with the new Legends of the Hidden Temple movie on Nickelodeon with Mark, Robin, and Harvey.
Oh, nice. Yes.
And they're gonna re-air some of them little clips they played for the Splat at one of the cons that they did a game.
Yeah.
If you caught that marathon on the Splat a couple of weeks or what is it, last month or so? Back.
Mm-hmm.
Mark did like a live quick on stage version of it. They're going to air that and they're going to have new interviews with Harvey and Robin.
Okay.
And then the first trailer for the Hidden Temple movie came out as well this week. Interesting. Mm.
I thought that came out a while ago. I thought I saw a trailer for that.
That was a new one.
Oh, okay. New one. I'll have to look for that one.
It's on my feed.
Okay.
So there you go. There's your 90s and your 80s kids talking to you folks. Back to you, Nikki.
Stepboy, did you have anything to promote?
Outside of maybe Wrestling with Regrets, most recent episode with Los Luchadores, no.
Oh, God. I've always wanted to get clips for that show when I was doing video reviews.
Yeah, let's just put it this way. Apparently, there was only a DVD release in Italy.
Ew.
And only one of the three stars of Los Luchadores actually went on to do anything more. The female.
Negative five stars?
What?
Negative five stars. Yes.
Yeah, actually. Her name's Sarah Carter. She's best known for being on Falling Skies, Shark, Final Destination 2, and the infamous Dead or Alive movie from 2006.
Mm.
Does she have the right physics for that?
Well, considering she portrayed Helena Douglas, yeah. Yeah, she does.
Yeah, to help Brian out, they're Wrestling with Regret. That's a W on Regret. W-R-E-G-R-E-T.
Yep, it's WQ.
Friend of the site, he's been on our show before, too.
Mm-hmm. We need to get him back on one night.
Yeah.
And speaking of appearances and disappearances, I've got two things to promote, actually. I have two tickets still available for the October 24th Raw in Minneapolis. Somebody please buy these. That's out of the way. Try where?
I'll put it in the chat because I don't know if we can plug them.
No, yeah, just tell me in the chat. Okay. I'm looking ahead on our schedule, and I will let you know that the other project that I'm working on, that Dan and I, some of the stuff that Dan and I talked about last week, a project I'm working on in this area, I finally got a solid schedule because they finally took a look at the two idiots that were trying to schedule things and knocked their fucking heads together and said, go away. So, I am a question mark for next week's show because I might not be home until 10:30. I might not be home till 11 o'clock Eastern time. 11 o'clock Central. I'll be available October 20th. I will be here October 27th. I will be here November 3rd. And I will be here November 10th.
Mm-hmm. When you listen, I hear Kitty.
Yes. I also will be available November 17th. If that's not Thanksgiving week, I will be available. However, the 24th is Thanksgiving, so I know we don't broadcast.
We take the week off usually, yeah.
And yes, if anybody who needs a kitty, here you go.
Who is that?
Speaking of Thanksgiving week, we're not far off from 4:50.
Yeah, I know. I gotta figure something out quick.
Even if it's a little low key this time, it's okay. We know you've been busy. Jason's been busy. I've been busy. And of course, we know about Jim's situation.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, you know, Jim's home, but we want him to stay home, and we want him to get better. And
hopefully, they got his blood count back up finally.
Yeah. Was he having iron issues too?
Probably. I think one of the first comments was on his Facebook. It said, "Get iron pills."
Yeah. And actually, I have a recommendation for him. And
somebody in our inner circle was said, I forgot who, I think it was Klaus or Chico, one of the two.
I might privately message Jim with a suggestion.
Okay.
If it's indeed iron, I've got a suggestion. So.
And anemia is nothing to play around with, trust me.
No, because I just got over mine, thank you.
And I live with someone who's had quite a few episodes in her time.
I just came over a fairly severe anemia situation, but I'm back up to the point where I'm donating double red. So
there you go.
I'm good for now, and that's because of iron supplements. So.
Always wanted to talk to you guys and gal.
Absolutely. So, for our Chief High Muckety Muck, Carl Schneer, for Jason Block, for Stepway Josh Henniger, for Chris Waters, for my poor, poor soundboard, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in, and do come and enjoy the festivities with us. And, Jim, stay golden, Pony Boy.
Stay pony, my friend.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.